Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. HBO Max is up and mega programming all over the United States. Eight original series are on the opening multitude of content, one being Craftopia, where kids and teens let their creative juices go wild. Executive producers Rick Doctor and Brian Mahar join me next in an internet radio exclusive. Law & Crime Network is using this May to expand its programming and distribution horizons. We'll go to court with President and IR host Rachel Stockman next half hour. Also ahead, HBO Max's Tale of the Tape. Hello everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday midweek for the second of our 4 episodes this week of the program all about TV's current and future. 80 big degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, beautifully sunny here in the Big Apple. We're delighted you are along for the ride. Great guests coming away all hour long, and we invite you as always to be interactive with them and us. All you have to do is pick up the phone, dial in, use this number, 646-652-2906. This is 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway, or catch you across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And if you're shy about the phone, no big deal with us. Just use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. Televised, Rebecca from Philadelphia is already in the room. And there's room for more, including you. And while the call is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk speaker or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. The duo from Craftopia on HBO Max, which premiered earlier today, they're with us live from Los Angeles in an internet exclusive after these news notes. Well, here's what you can take to the bank on HBO Max's launch. More than 10,000 hours of programming are available for $14.99 per month. 8 original series were launched, including the Anna Kendrick starring anthology dramedy Love Life. Now, if you couldn't subscribe to HBO or HBO Now on your cable, satellite system, etc., well, Max can be yours at no extra cost. Now, most major cable operators, including Comcast, whose X1 and Flex subscribers just got in the last hour the opportunity to get HBO Max, as well as Charter Spectrum and Altice USA, are distributing the service. Other places to catch it, Samsung Smart TVs, Hulu, Apple TV, Android TV-powered sets, including those from Sony, and Google's Chromecast. Not on there yet, Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Also at this moment, SpaceX is on the clock to blast the first commercially manned space flight next hour. Live coverage is set among the broadcast networks and all news channels. You can also look for 2 simulcast efforts, Discovery and Science channels, and ABC News Live with Nancy Rapp. Those are separate simulcast channels. Both, I believe, are starting at this hour or will start at the top of the next. And now some quickies. More layoffs today at Viacom CBS. This round impacting various CBS divisions, including CBS News, CBS Sports, and CBS Television Studios. And Food Network Kitchen will debut a pair of live cooking classroom series next month. Alton and Elizabeth cook some food. That's Alton Brown, his wife Elizabeth. And Boyd is back on the grill with Bobby Flay of Beat Bobby Flay fame on the Food Network. And that is news notes for today. Well, our first half hour is all about the launch of HBO Max, and specifically, it's about one of the 8 original shows you can now find there. It's called Craftopia. It's a program that involves a YouTube star that Forbes calls the Millennium Martha Stewart. Her name is Lauren Michalaki. And joining us live to talk about the program is the 2 executive producers working with that YouTube star on Craftopia. Live from Los Angeles, we welcome in Rick Bachner and Brian Mahar. Rick and Brian, welcome in.
Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. And we'll start with you. Same here. We'll start with you. What is it like to be part of the opening act of HBO Max?
I mean, we couldn't be more proud. I mean, you're talking about launching a massive platform that with a brand that we've all grown up with, and to be part of the initial launch is just a real testament to I think the work that the team has done in bringing this show to life. So we're super proud to be a part of this launch and confident that folks are going to love the show.
And Brian, one thing that's clear right off the bat is that HBO Max, at least with this first round of virtual programming, is really trying to do a lot of stuff aimed at families and kids. You've got your program, you got Looney Tunes, back in an all-new cartoon format, you got the Elmo show, Not Too Late show, which is getting very good reviews, and it seems that that's the initial focus is let's have things to watch originally for kids and families.
Yeah, I mean, we're fortunately for Rhett and I, we have families, and it's one of the easiest things to program for the people in your own house because you get to watch their viewing habits all day. And some of the programs that they were watching were, you know, fun competitions on different platforms that, you know, had high stakes and had eliminations and had a lot of humor. So for us, it was to get a chance to make something that not only, you know, millions of viewers on HBO Max would watch, but our own family was a real pleasure.
Rhett, you and Brian are part of this company called B17 Entertainment. It's an independent production company. It's not affiliated with Warner Brothers or Warner Media. How long has the company been around, and how did both of you get together with this YouTube star to get Craftopia going?
Well, B17's been in business for 5 or 6 years. Brian and I met producing Shark Tank over at Mark Burnett, and we formed this entity shortly after doing a few seasons there. We wanted to make, you know, millennial-focused programming and do it on a variety of platforms. And, you know, we're always looking for emerging trends. I think that sort of guides a lot of our development. And obviously, you know, crafting has exploded in recent years. I think that's in large part because creators like Lauren, Lord DIY, are offering so much inspiration online, and she's been empowering kids to elevate their crafts, and I think that's why she's so popular, and I think that's why the genre has exploded, and it seemed like that world was really ripe for a smart, competitive format. And to echo what Brian said, I think it's, you know, what HBO is so smart to realize is that, and we benefit from being associated and given the opportunity to make Craftopia, is that, you know, kids are watching much more, you know, mature programming now. I mean, in the sense that they can follow along with these hyper-competitive formats, and they don't want to be talked down to. They want to feel like it's a show that their parents might watch, and we were able to sort of take that formula and build a really colorful world of Craftopia where their imaginations can run wild, whether they're on set or at home.
And Brian, one of the things that we're learning, and certainly Food Network has, and to some extent Shark Tank has, is that you can have kids participate in a cooking competition like Chopped, or in the case of Shark Tank, you can have kid entrepreneurs who are able to make deals with the likes of Mark Cuban and all those sharks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the kids, it's not just about them saying the darndest things anymore. It's about them doing really incredible things. And, you know, for us, I mean, I think we kind of modeled Craftopia in a way, you know, with, you know, the help of Lauren, obviously, and Jen O'Connell at the network, to say to ourselves, like, what would be sort of a dream opportunity for a kid, both a viewer and a participant? And the idea was really, Let's make Willy Wonka for crafts. Let's make the world's largest craft store that literally has like 2 tons of glitter and, you know, paint that can shoot out of a, you know, giant tube from behind you, and every possible crafting thing you could ever imagine just sort of at their disposal.
HBO Max is up and running on cable systems, also on DirecTV, on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the first original shows is what we're talking about right now, Craftopia. And we've got three executive producers involved with the series, Rhett Bachner and Brian Maher. They're with us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Found out I'm with you live from the other end of the U.S. of A., New York, 80 degrees, and actually beautiful here in the Big Apple. And if you have a question or comment for our guests, well, make the phone ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We're going to do episode 204 this week here on Tamavi Televised. Episode 3 is tomorrow this very hour, and we're going to get into Reverie. The Gay and Lesbian Network, which has had great success the last couple of years, is now taking the next level, offering 4 new services, including what's believed to be the first global news channel for the gay, lesbian, transgender audience. We'll have 2 of the co-founders, Alia Daniels and Chris Rodriguez, will be with us. Also, in our Show to Know segment, we'll highlight 2 sports competition series, classic ones now available on YouTube, Home Run Derby and Shell's Wonderful World of Golf. That's all coming up tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Rick, how long did it take for all 3 of you to hone the format of Craftopia down?
It took a couple months. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward format, but I think it was just coming up with a lot of ideation around how to execute it in a way that was super colorful. How do we see what the kids are thinking in terms of being able to visualize the craft? What graphic approach do we want to take that's new and fresh that lets you sort of see what they're trying to design so that you can follow along at home? I mean, I think we knew we wanted to make a sharp half-hour format, which is, I think, sort of a newer phenomenon in competitive eliminations. It's quick, it's fast, it's colorful. But we did take our time in sort of making sure that we had all of the right elements that could make it feel really fresh, even if some of those format pieces seem like familiar, so that you can follow along. You know that you're going to identify a winner at the end of the half hour, but I think we came up with some really fun and creative ways to get there over maybe, Brian, what would you say, like a two-month period with Jay and the team?
At least 2 months. I would say, too, that what got us excited about developing it with HBO Max was it's all about world building, you know? Like, if you look at our set, the whole thing is you can touch, you can use, you can literally craft with. There's no part of the back of the set that isn't actually filled with things that the kids can use to bring their crafts to life. So, you know, instead of just having, like, you on a competition show, sometimes it's just all about the desk and the 3 stations and stuff like that. Our show, the entire gigantic, beautiful set that was built by production designer J.P. Connelly, really is this Wonka-like environment where the kids have the entire run of the place. They're running around with giant shopping carts. They're throwing in everything from glitter to construction materials. And, you know, I think that was a big part of at least the format for us that felt so different, was the fact that it was really 360. You could use anything to bring your craft to life.
Yeah. It's
Brian,
such an artistic achievement, Simon, that we actually had JP as a judge.
Sounds like that studio, that production design, might be a possible Emmy nominee next year, or even later this year if it's still
absolutely
qualified. It might. I'm just saying that the set is an eye popper, but also the way the competition goes, it starts with a little sort of a bow to supermarket sweep, the big sweep, where you mentioned that the contestants have these carts and they can go wild in the aisles, in this case wild in this, you know, this magical land here, to get all the craft, and then they get the opportunity to take on some challenges.
Yeah, and it's aspirational that way, right? I mean, like all of us, whether you're a kid or not, would love the opportunity to be able to run through your favorite department store with no consequences and you know, at no cost. And I think particularly in the crafting world, we're often, if you're at home and you're sort of confined to the scissors that you can get out of your parents' drawer or the, you know, the whatever paper or ingredients or materials you can find, there's something really sort of fun, imaginative, aspirational about being able to, you know, run around this environment that we built, this world, as Brian pointed out, where really anything you could possibly want and probably a whole lot of things you never even thought of are there at your fingertips to help you build the craft of your dreams and hopefully lead you to victory. So it really is an achievement, the set itself. And I was mentioning we actually had JP as the set designer as a guest host at one point, because it, you know, all, it, real, it's actually our biggest craft is the set itself, and it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous place to live for 20 to 30 minutes every episode.
And Brian, once they get everything they need in their cars, what are some of the challenges that the competition provides for these contestants?
I mean, fortunately, we have, you know, Lauren, Lord DIY, as our not only our host, but also one of our executive producers, who basically is the has her finger on the pulse of what's cool in crafting. So, I mean, all the stuff that is trending on Pinterest and other places, everything from, you know, hydro dipping or designing your own shoes. You know, kids love customizing backpacks. They love upcycling is a huge thing, that, you know, taking trash and turning it into treasure, party invites. I mean, and then just like some things that were just, you know, that we wanted to make accessible for people at home so they could run in their other room and grab something and do it. Like there's this one episode where we take those paper lanterns from IKEA, you know, like those just like circular paper lanterns, and you know, that you can turn a paper lantern in 20 minutes into a giant glowing panda bear, or a phosphorescent squid, or, you know, you name it. So it's really amazing to see. And I think that that's a big part of the format too, is you know, we have an early challenge called the quick craft, where basically it's really accessible for people at home to try to replicate that. But then we have a master craft at the end of the episode, which is a lot bigger, a lot beefier of a craft that really showcases these kids' skills. I mean, the kids themselves are you know, flew from all over the U.S. are expert crafters, aged, you know, 9 to I think it was like 12 or 13. But I mean, there's this kid in the first episode named Jonah who, it looks like we're speeding up the tape when he's crocheting, but in real life he's I think he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for his ability to crochet. So some really amazing crafts and some just the kids that will brighten your day.
Greg, how did you find the contestants, and how much time do they have to create their craft, to create their projects?
We did a nationwide casting. Like, I mean, you know, to Ryan's point, we really wanted to, we're not just looking for any kid who wants to craft. I mean, we really wanted to try to identify some of the best crafters in the country. So we cast a really wide net and worked with Viva Carr and our casting team to put out feelers for folks who felt they were exceptional in that world. And we've got a really great diverse group of kids from all over the country. For each challenge, so to the quick craft is I think we gave about an hour, right, Brian? And then for the master craft, it was about two.
That's right.
And if we might adjust that depending on what the craft is, but you know, like any good competition show, you're giving them enough time to do something that is exceptional and not enough time so that it creates good drama. And I think we found a good sweet spot there, and the kids felt challenged, but were still able to bring their vision to life. And all of us being on set were often jaw dropped at the things that these kids were able to create. And our hope is that the viewers will feel the same way, both parents and kids alike, because I think this show will be very appealing for folks of all ages.
Yeah, Brian, what kind of cooperation did you get from local craft suppliers? If there's any like national store chains like a Crate and Barrel, a Williams-Sonoma, or others that might offer the kind of crafts that kids would be interested in? What kind of cooperation did you get from suppliers to provide the materials to have the competitions?
For season one, we typically, you know, us and potentially the network too, but didn't forge too many of those relationships. We got a lot of, specific paints. It was less sort of big box stores and more, suppliers of certain brushes and certain paints that are, you know, our kids or Lauren or some of our, you know, behind the scenes craft experts told us were sort of the best of the best. But I think in future seasons, we'll see more of that stuff potentially integrated. But for now, it was just a handful of things that we got from other places. The majority of what you see in there was purchased, acquired, and paid for by the show. So it's in storage somewhere waiting for more.
Yeah. We should point out that in less than a year, HBO Max will have an advertised-supported format. So all you Sherwin Williams and Benjamin Moores and those folks in the paint and other craft areas, you might want to keep your eye on this show. You might be involved with it. We will see.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Imagine all the integration and placement possibilities right now. It's amazing. We're speaking with executive producers Rick Botner and Brian Mahar from the new HBO Max series Craftopia, one of the 8 original series you can now see on that new mega streaming service, which launched earlier today. They're joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. And we're happy you're along for the ride on this Wednesday afternoon. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Any other questions, comments for our guests in the remaining moments with us, give a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have 2 more shows coming your way, and on Friday we have a big 90-minute one to wrap the week up. First up, brand new network that mixes English language, Spanish language, and bilingual programming all for Latinos. It's called Canela TV. It's available on many smart TV sets and smart devices. We'll speak exclusively with its chief executive officer, Isabel Raftery. And then, rescheduled from earlier, we will have the producer and showrunner of the 2020 Daytime Emmy Award nominee for Outstanding Educational Series from CBS's The Dream Team. It's epic. Mission Unstoppable with Miranda Cosgrove, producer Anna Wenger. And finally, the AMC folks have an interesting way to wrap up the month. It's called Quiz. It's a mini-series based on one of the most incredible game show scandals around. It impacted the original British version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. We will have the writer, executive producer with us, James Graham. That's all Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Brian, what's it been like to work with a YouTube talent like Lauren?
I mean, it's incredible. She, the Lauren's a creator, and at the end of the day, it's like that's who you want to be an executive producer. We've worked on so many shows where you had an EP of the show that was attached, that, you know, was just attached by name or by popularity. She's a grinder. I mean, she works so hard to not only help put the show together, but she promotes it, and she is amazing. Yeah, that generation of creators, I think, has a really bright future ahead of them in all forms of media and television, because she's just, there's nothing she can't do, and she works so hard. So it's been an absolute pleasure.
I'd love to echo that too, Simon, if I could, because I think there is a misconception that you know, often the creators or influencers are just, they're getting famous for doing nothing, and that may be the case for some, but folks like Lauren are producers. They shoot themselves, they edit themselves, they curate their own content, and they're prolific in the amount of content that they're able to create and the quality of it. And that really helped us, as Brian pointed out, in building this show, even at a slightly larger scale than what they might produce, because she sort of kept us honest in terms of what's going to be cool and well-received. And she really is an amazing person to collaborate with.
As you know, you are one of the initial 8 original series, first-run series on HBO Max on this opening day. Have any of you seen any of the other series, any favorites you have, whether it's the Elmo late-night talk show or the Looney Tunes cartoons or Love Live with Anna Kendrick or any of the other shows that are on the schedule?
My family and I woke up at 6 a.m. and started watching as much as we could. We're binging it. I can tell you that on a personal level, and I know Rhett feels the same way, that this morning, using the platform and navigating seamlessly through, you know, franchises like Harry Potter, Pokemon, or Looney Tunes, and having Craftopia be one of those things up there, was just one of the biggest honors I think we could ever have as a company. And then just for us personally and selfishly, it was it's just amazing to be a part of this launch on the first day with such huge franchises like the ones I just listed.
I think we're next to Friends, right? I mean, we were like, you know,
we're under Friends. Yeah, if you accidentally used your remote, you might have started watching our show this morning. So the placement couldn't have been better, and the team at HBO Max, I mean, They're just they've been so collaborative the entire time, and I'm so proud of them and excited for them with this launch, because we know it's going to be huge.
And we should point out that in a late-breaking filming development, HBO Max got the streaming rights for the Harry Potter films, which I believe are now being seen on Sci-Fi and USA Network. And they will continue to run them there, but now you can see all the Harry Potter movies at one shot, if you like, on HBO Max. And we should also point out that there's a lot more originals coming up in the future, both near and far, on that service, including movies produced by Greg Berlanti. Also, Steven Soderbergh is working on projects. J.J. Abrams is working on three shows with Bad Robot and associated with Warner Brothers. Lupita Nyong'o is working on a series that is going to be, I think, really dynamite. Keeley Cuoco from Big Bang Theory has got The Flight Attendant, which is coming out, I think, this summer, this fall. There's a lot of very exciting programs that family-friendly in many respects, and also and good for the adults, too, that we'll be running through throughout. Is there a particular, by the way, series that you're looking forward to that's coming up?
I mean, besides our own show and possibly shows, there's a show called Karma that some of our friends produce that is going to be on HBO Max. And we may have gotten a sneak peek of it and can't wait for everyone to see it and to show our kids. It's Good Story Entertainment produces it, Rhett, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a show called
yep.
Karma, which is has been announced, also has a YouTube talent attached, and has a really great, fun, adventure-oriented outdoor premise.
Mm-hmm. And before we let you go, really,
I think Legendary is
going to
do very well, too.
Yes, Legendary deals with ballroom dancing, but not the ballroom dancing that you've come to in Dancing with the Stars. But it's a very, and I've heard some good things about it, it's a breakthrough show dealing with ballroom. If you've seen the TV series Pose on FX, Billy Porter's wonderful performance on it, that's the ballroom dance we're talking about. And it's also a competition series and getting some very good initial reviews, too. While we're waiting for more stuff from HBO Max to come, what's going to be in the pipeline for B17? What have you got coming up in the months ahead?
Oh, man, we've been busy of late, which is great. And, we just did our virtual graduation event with Oprah Winfrey for Facebook and Instagram. That was a privilege to be a part of, to be able to offer some of those kids who aren't going to get the normal graduation ceremony. We had a lot of celebrities participate in that 2-hour event. And we've got a few new shows that will be coming out in June, one on Sci-Fi, The Great Debate. Which is sort of a comedy panel show of folks, debating some of the hottest topics in nerddom, in the nerd universe. We're hoping to do, some more episodes of Thanks a Million with Jennifer Lopez. We're waiting to find out about that. And,
YouTube show that's on right now.
Yeah, we've got a Celebrity Substitute is currently airing. We've got about 5 or 6 more episodes of that that'll continue to air. That's celebrities helping teachers teach academic lessons, because it's been a struggle for them teaching kids on Zoom. So hopefully some celebrity participation will help there. We've got a lot of fun stuff coming up, and couldn't be more excited about today's launch. Craftopia really is sort of a combination of our best skills and one of our favorite partnerships with Jen and the HBO team. So we're really excited about today. We've been looking forward to it for quite a long time.
And again, we want to remind you that HBO Max is now up and running. It's available all over the place on smart TV sets and smart devices. Many cable operators are offering it as well. And if you don't have HBO or HBO Now, you can get it on a subscription basis for $14.99, $15 a month. If you do have HBO or HBO Now, chances are, if you're with a cable or satellite operator, from DirecTV to Comcast, that's X1 and Flex subscribers, you can get it free. For more details about the service online and the show, such as Craftopia, www.hbomax.com. That website is up and running, www.hbomax.com. Today, premiere day of HBO Max all over the U.S. today, and soon around the world, and early next year, ad-supported version as well. Anyway, Rick Buckner, Brian Mahar, thank you both for joining us. Congratulations to you, all, both of you and Lauren, for a great start with your series. Hopefully it's the beginning of a very long run for this. And all the best to your other projects. We'd love to have you back when you do great debate. I've heard a lot of good things about it on Sci-Fi, and we'd love you back for that or anything else. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you for taking the time during HBO Max's launch day to be with us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. Thanks so much. Talk soon.
Appreciate it.
You are welcome.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Take care. Brett Faulkner, Brian Mahar from Craftopia on HBO Max, launch day, joining us live from Los Angeles. In our next half hour, meet someone who not only runs a network, she also is one of the hosts. Her name is Rachel Stockman. She'll join us live from Connecticut as she does her thing for Law and Crime Network. You'll hear all about her and what she does after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tuneinradio.com. Together, reaching over 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget, TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com is your host for the Coronavirus News Channel. Get the latest reports on the pandemic all around the world, plus podcast and other original reporting. That's the Coronavirus News Channel. Be up to date and hear how it's getting licked all over the world. The Coronavirus News Channel, live and 24/7. TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow We Televise on this Wednesday. Second of four episodes this week of the program all about TV's current and future on HBO Max's launch day. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 80 degrees at the top of the hour. Delighted to have you with us. More coming your way in the half hour ahead, and we invite you, as always, to be interactive with our guests. Just call in at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And we'll get to our guests after some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for something inspirational in these days, especially this pandemic time, I got one for you. It's the new book, audiobook by Kevin Hart. That's right, the popular comedian and actor and star and entrepreneur too. It's called The Decision, and I promise you it will really inspire you to no end. And the great news is you can get it right now as one of your three free audiobooks to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and certainly inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including wherever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, or iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. You get three free audiobooks, 1 month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And remember, two of those audiobooks come from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's original radio productions or audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. Can't beat that. Makes a great gift for you or anyone you love. So how about making today the day that Audible.com can really help you, really, and I do mean really, make the Audible.com the way you change the way you hear the world. Don't forget, it's a 1 month trial, three free audiobooks, and it's all at audibletrial.com/televised. Remember those Hair Club for Men ads and the late president, Cy Sperling, saying at the end of every ad he was in, "I'm not only the president of Hair Club for Men, I'm also a client." Well, you could say that about our second guest, or our second half-hour spot today, and our next guest. She is now the president of Law and Crime Network, and that was also involved Dan Abrams of Live PD fame on A&E, but she's also one of the on-air hosts. Joining us live from Connecticut, Rachel Stockman. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks so much. Glad to be on with you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. We should point out you're joining us from Connecticut, and we should point out that Law and Crime Network, your network, is based in New York. What's it been like for you and Dan and everybody involved to be operating from home these last couple of months because of the pandemic?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was pretty difficult when we were first preparing for this because obviously we have a whole control room to operate our network out of. We had, you know, gotten some things going remote even before this, but it was really a quick transition for us where we had to create a system where all of our line producers, our producers for the live broadcast, could all do it from their homes. And that's what we're doing now, and certainly has its challenges, but I think we've gotten into a pretty good rhythm right now of doing it all remotely. It's really amazing to produce live television from your – some people are in their bedrooms. Maybe people are even in their bathrooms. Who knows? But we're getting it done.
And what's it like for you to oversee a network and also be one of its hosts?
Well, you know what? It can be stressful at times, especially when something goes south when I'm on air and I'm frantically trying to send messages, call people during commercial breaks, and get things resolved. But it certainly makes me feel like I'm part of it. And it also helps me understand from all perspectives, the perspective of a host, a producer, the tech team, everything. So I'm actually very happy to do it because it gives me that additional perspective. And just to note too, Simon, in addition to our network, we also have a production house where we're producing shows for A&E networks, Facebook Watch, all sorts of different distributors. And so I'm also overseeing that as well. And we've really just built this up in the last couple of years, and we've seen amazing growth.
How did Lone Crime get started? I know that in the last year we've seen the revival of Court TV by Scripps as a multicast channel, and they just celebrated their first anniversary this month. But
yep.
I don't know too much about Lone Crime, so tell us how it got going and what's been happening to build the network up over the last few years.
Certainly. So we actually started a couple of years ago just as a site, longcrime.com, which we still have, and it does very well, about 3 to 5 million unique visitors every month. We cover true crime and legal news. About 2.5 years ago, backed by A&E, we got an investment and launched our network, built out a studio in New York City, hired hosts, and really brought on a great distribution guy who's been working to get us distributed. We just launched on Verizon Fios. We have some other cable launches in the works. And we're pretty much on every OTT platform right now. And that's kind of how we started, and we've been kind of expanding onto cable as well. So we have great content, all in the true crime live trial space. And we've been able to kind of spiral that into a production house as well, where we really have this expertise in the true crime genre. Obviously, Dan, as our founder, you know, Dan Abrams is very well respected in the legal world. So he, along with me, we've just been building this up, and it's been really fun and amazing to watch, and we're so grateful to have so many customers and viewers, and we hope to continue the momentum into this year.
I mentioned at the top of the program that you're having both major horizons opening up, both in distribution and also in programming. So it sounds like on the distribution side, Fios TV is the first of what would be cable and satellite things. In terms of OTT, or I should say smart TV set, smart device, smart programming services,
right,
what are some of the distributors you have there?
So we're on Roku, we're on Zumo, we're on Samsung TV Plus. Most of the major, we're on Fubo, we just launched. And in fact, if you go to longcrime.com and you click where to watch, you can see, I won't go through them all because I don't want to bore your audience, Simon, but you can see what all the major platforms that were on there, Philo, Stir, which is owned by Sinclair, Sling TV, Tiki Live.
That's a pretty big bunch. When it comes to the programming, one of the heart of the programming is the live trial coverage during the day. How do you determine what trials you cover and which ones you don't? What criteria do you have for the types of trials you cover, and also make sure that you cover a wide variety, not just like one aspect, whether it's murder or robbery or special victims type crimes. How do you determine what you cover and when?
Well, that's the big question. Of course, we're all over the major crime cases. So we were on Robert Durst, Harvey Weinstein. We had a team out in New York City every day for that trial. We're covering Scott Peterson's Supreme Court appeal in California coming up on Tuesday. So anything high profile, we're all over. But in terms of the day-to-day murders, so to speak, awful to put it that way, but, you know, unfortunately, this is the reality of the world we live in. When we're digging into cases, we have a team of trial producers, and basically they're looking for cases that have a little bit of mystery to them, so it's not clear that whoever the defendant in the case necessarily did it. And they're also looking about characters, like any good TV. You know, you're looking to make sure, okay, who are the witnesses that are going to take the stand? Are we going to have an interesting judge? Do the attorneys, are they very enthusiastic? Will they provide for some good opening and closing statements? So in a way, it's kind of like we're casting when we look at some of these trials.
Mm-hmm. And aside of programming, I understand now that you are now trying some different types of shows, particularly in prime time, where you're doing more original things like documentaries or new series. Talk about what you're up to there.
Yes, yeah, so as part of what's been going on with COVID, we've been trying to provide some more primetime programming. Brian Ross, a very well-renowned investigative reporter, he's part of our investigative team, and he has a show that airs two times a week, that airs during primetime, that's basically digging into some of these issues surrounding COVID, the ripple effects. We also have a true crime live show where we've interviewed a juror from Tiger King. We're all over this Georgia shooting. I'm sure you've been following what's been going on in Minneapolis. We've been covering that and talking to some of the high-profile key players in those cases as well.
Mm-hmm. Since you brought up the situation, I was talking with someone earlier about the case in Minneapolis and also the case in Georgia, and both of them it looks like how they're going to go, and in part depends on the video that's shot from these dash cams or body cams, whether from the police or from bystanders. How much of that is prevalent in what you do? How do you deal with trials or programs that use that footage, which can give you one perspective, maybe not the total perspective, but a perspective that really people, you know, see it as, that's the definitive argument, one way or the other. And in some cases, it's very tough to watch, as Gayle King said on CBS this morning, especially with the Minneapolis case early this week.
Yeah, they're really tough to watch. And I think a couple of things we keep in mind. Obviously, you know, we try to tell all sides. Sometimes in stories, there's not all sides. If the video is pretty clear cut, it is what it is. But certainly, you know, if there's something we're not seeing on camera, we try to highlight that. And then we're conscious. Listen, we don't want to continue to play something over and over and over again and to be too sensational about something. I think that's our ethical duty, and we try to be responsible with some of this because I don't think we're helping the public or anyone by sensationalizing some of these moments. I think they're important for the public to know, but we as broadcasters and the media need to do it responsibly.
Yeah. And Jeff Bouguet is CBS's one of his legal, CBS's legal correspondents, has been covering the case. He went out to Minneapolis to cover it, has made a point in saying, and it's a very good point, that the police had body cams turned on when this incident happened, and that's the footage we have not seen, which sort of, I know there was footage recently yesterday that showed this suspect who allegedly had been found by some kind of crime, who was taken away from the car, those parts, on the sidewalk. And then there's like, but that was before the incident with the police person putting his knee on the suspect's throat and didn't let go until the stretcher came. And by that time, it looked like, you know, he was motionless.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of disturbing about all this. When body cams started becoming more and more popular and the demand for them in all the police departments, I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago, a lot of police departments started buying them, using them. We all thought, wow, there's going to be so much more transparency with the police, right? Because we're going to have these body cams. But we're kind of coming to see here that sometimes, you know, it's a matter of the police departments acknowledging to the public that these videos even exist. So my wonder would be, if this bystander hadn't shot this video in the case of the Minneapolis case, would we have known about this? Would police have come forward with this video? You never know. I certainly hope they would have, but it's interesting that it then once again takes a bystander using their iPhone or whatever it might be to take a video.
Yeah. And in the Georgia case, the person who shot that video that we all saw, now that person has been taken into custody and charged with being accessory to the crime.
Yeah, that was a shocking development late last week that he was arrested as well. It's going to be really interesting to see how this case plays out. But I'll tell you, the sentiment towards these defendants, there's a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm. Apart from murder, robbery, rape, that kind of thing, one of the most interesting court situations in recent months, which is triggered by the pandemic, was the store owner in Texas who had to go before a judge because she was found guilty of opening the store up, which was supposed to, and the judge wanted this woman to apologize in public. And the woman said, no, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to apologize for trying to feed my kids and for trying to do the best for my workers and that kind of thing. And it made headlines all over the place. And ultimately, she was jailed for a short time, a day or two, then got off because the attorney general, the key legislative people in Texas said, you know, why is this judge doing this? And I'm wondering if, you know, in some of the cases you cover, whether the behavior of the judge, the behavior of the jury, or the whole situation with the pandemic, with more and more people wanting to reopen their business in violation of lockdowns, where that's come into play lately with the network.
Yeah, we've been seeing some hearings with that. It's been so interesting to try to cover these because, of course, most courts aren't fully operational right now. So when we're seeing hearings happening, we're actually seeing them done by Zoom or whatever kind of conferencing that the courthouse might have. And so, for example, just last week we did a hearing, which Brian Roth hosted, regarding the suit against Fox News in Seattle. A small group, a special interest group, filed against Fox News claiming that their coronavirus coverage, minimizing the risk, had an adverse effect. So it's really interesting. And courts are struggling to figure out how do they operate in this situation. Obviously, different media entities are doing the same, but you know, something that's kind of different than football or some of these other programs that you see on TV is that the truth of the matter is you have a constitutional right to see a judge and have your day in court. So our advantage, I guess you could say in a way, is that these proceedings are going to have to go on because people that are arrested have to go before a judge if they want to open up or if they sue someone or if they get charged with murder. So it's been interesting to watch, especially these cases involving the business owner like the one you mentioned.
We're speaking with Rachel Stockman. She is the president and one of the honor hosts of Law & Crime Network, which is available on smart TV sets, smart devices, now on Verizon Fios TV cable systems around the country, other cable systems and side systems to come not too far down the road. To join us live from Connecticut this half hour on Tomorrow We Tell Live, sign up. I'm with you live from not far from where she is in New Haven, New York, where it's 80 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us on the program all about TV's current and future. And if you have some questions or comments for Rachel in our remaining moments, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll have three more Tomorrow We Tell Live episodes next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And our Wednesday episode will be on a special time, 2 hours later than normal, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. And our special guest for that program will be from the new series, The Great. That's the Catherine Great sort of irreverent dramedy. We'll have executive producer Marianne McGowan. She works with the Oscar-winning writer of The Favorite on that series, and she'll be with us live, I believe, from across the pond. That's Marianne McGowan from The Great, live with us on a special edition of Tomorrow We Tell Live, 1 week from today at a special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, live right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Talk about what the production house does. How much do they do for Law & Crime, and how much they do for A&E?
I'm sorry, Simon, you broke up for a second. Say that again.
No problem. No problem, Rachel. The production house that you also work with, that's part of Law & Crime, how much do they do for Law & Crime? How much do they do for A&E?
Well, we're pretty split evenly between the two of them. So obviously we have our show. We're doing two shows now for A&E, so we're very busy in full swing of production for that. And then we also are producing some other shows for other networks that we're working on as well. So, you know, it kind of, in terms of the production side, we kind of staff up depending on what we have going on the production side, and then we have our core people that we have for the network.
Mm-hmm. What are the shows that you do for A&E?
So Court Cam, that was a show that launched in December, and it was actually the number one rated TV show on cable. So we're really excited about that, and we're working on another order that's going to come out in July. So the episodes are looking really great. If you haven't seen it, Simon, it's a show about crazy emotional courtroom moments. And Dan Abrams, our founder, is the host of it.
By the way, A&E more and more is becoming the live network, live PD dealing with first responders, live PD, the one that deals with animal rescue. It seems that A&E has really become very big on the live as it happens network. And is that sort of what Dan wants to do with you, with Law and Crime, is also make more prime time sort of live as it happens?
Yeah, and I think that was one of his inspirations and our inspirations for launching the Law and Crime Network, the success with live PD, showing that there's a real appetite for people to watch things unravel, is really why he decided to launch the network. And I think that in terms of cable and in terms of these linear channels, I think it's a sticking point for viewers because, of course, on demand, you can watch programs at any time, but people want to feel like they're part of the action. They don't want to miss anything, and that's why the live component is so key for us.
Before I go, I wanted to sort of give you the opportunity to talk about what you think about the whole court situation in syndicated television. You know, Judge Judy is about to go into her final season in her current format. We're seeing more interesting formats like Court in Providence, which is the actual live court that Frank Caprio does in Providence, Rhode Island. You now have personal injury courts where people are awarded as much as hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. I've seen that show. Judge Gina Brown, I think, is an amazing judge. Couples court, paternity court, where we're seeing the definition of what makes a court show more than just a small claim situation. It can be paternity. It can be couple relationships. It can be, as I said, personal injury. It seems that sky's the limit in terms of what you can cover, you can get in a courtroom.
And I think it's a kind of a hot moment for courts right now. People are interested in our justice system, and you know, obviously, some of these shows serve as a lot of entertainment. But certainly, you know, it's not limited to small claims anymore. We're seeing, like you mentioned, divorce court, paternity, personal injury, ranges the gamut. And there's such a thirst, especially in syndication, for these court judge type programming.
Uh-huh. Do you have a favorite TV court judge that you watch or that you wish would maybe do some stuff for Law and Crime?
You know, I like the guy, the judge, I'm blanking on his name, in Cotton Providence. He has a huge Facebook following. Obviously, Judge
Frank
Judy. What's his name?
Yeah, Frank Caprio.
Yes.
Frank Caprio. We had him on a year ago when the first season. He is an amazing, amazing individual. And I've seen Cotton Providence. And I think it's a marvelous show. I'm surprised he's not going to see my nomination.
Yeah, and I'll say too, like on our show Court Cam that I mentioned on A&E Network, some of our most popular, we're able to track it via social, what the most popular segments are, and a lot of them are when the judges show some kind of compassion towards the defendants or the victims, or they lay down the hammer if they're just not putting up with the defendants. So to us, you know, on the network, on the shows that we're producing, it's not just about the crime and the defendants. It's about that judge and the character of that judge that's so critical. And people really seem to connect with these judges because they see so much, and especially when they show some sort of humanity and it's not just law and order, so to speak, I think it makes a big difference.
Judge Caprio does. And by the way, one of the things he's very into is he never calls that program a show. It's a courtroom.
Yep.
He hates the word show. Don't ever bring that word up to him. And he's a marvelous guest. And I'm thrilled that show is going to go in third season with Denmark Mercury syndicated. Also, one other thing. Have you seen this British show, Judge Rintel or Rintel?
Nope. No, I haven't seen that yet.
It's on YouTube. It is something. This judge is like the Judge Judy of British television. He's a former barrister, and he lays the law down. It's like he will throw you out if he smells that you are lying or you are cursing, whatever. Out you go. He's really something special.
I will definitely check it out, Simon. I don't like to miss a court show, so I'm disappointed I didn't know about that one.
Yeah. But would Lon Kron be interested in having a court show on, whether one of the ones I mentioned or some the ones that Byron Allen is doing, if somebody came to you with a court concept?
Yeah, it's funny because now that you're mentioning this one, I'm like going to Google it, try to find it if it's something that we could potentially put on the network. We're not doing a whole lot of commissioning or licensing, but we're doing some. We produce a lot of our content in-house, but it's certainly a show like that would be up our alley.
Uh-huh. Where do you hope Lon Kron will go in the next year or two ahead? What do you see as the next level, the next horizon for the network?
So we've always said no small goal, but we basically want to dominate the true and legal crime space. We want to be the place you go to if there's legal news, crime news, or some a production that you need to get done if it involves true crime or something in the legal sphere. So whether it's commissioning, continuing to expand our network, we have cable deals in the works, continued expansion on OTT. Our goal really is to be the true crime production/network.
If you want to see Law and Crime Network, you can check it out. If you have Verizon Fios TV in many markets around the country, that's one way you can do it. Other cable systems will pick it up soon. And you also find the network on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, as well as smart TV programming packages as well on those sets and devices. For more details about the program online and the network online, and where you can get it, lawandcrime.com. That's Law and Crime, all one phrase. com. Law and Crime Network, available 24/7. Rachel Stockman, the president and on-air host, thank you again for joining us. It's been a pleasure to have you this half hour. Let's hope this pandemic gets lit very quick so we can get you and Dan and everybody back in New York and taking your network to the next level. It's been a great pleasure having you with us, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be on. Thanks for the time.
You're welcome, Rachel. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the week. All the greatest.
You too. Bye-bye.
Rachel Stockman, president and on-air host of Law and Crime Network, joining us live from Connecticut. The channel is based in New York. I want to thank Rachel. Also, I want to thank our guests from HBO Max for joining us. Remember, if you want more details about that service, you can go to www.hbomax.com. Well, that's two shows down this week, two more to go. We're back tomorrow at this very hour. And joining us will be two of the co-founders of Reverie, which is taking its programming service to the next level with four new channels, including what's believed to be the first global news channel for the gay, lesbian, transgender community. We'll be speaking with co-founders Aaliyah Daniels and Christopher Rodriguez. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check out the podcast, available 24/7 at iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast App, TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. And remember, we love hearing from you. What's your thoughts on where TV's at, where it's going? Your thoughts on HBO Max's debut today and what you hope the service will do? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, UBC Simon TWVT. At UBC Simon TWVT. Remember, we love hearing from you because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and iHeartRadio. Tomorrow's Show Live was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For three free audio books and a 1-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. But tomorrow will be televised. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. We are back in less than 24. Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to do now and then, please make it great. And keep in mind, we are licking this pandemic now and forever. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.